to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program, the program many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. This is Lou Caverly.
And this is his colleague, Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly. And there are two parts to my opening monologue tonight, two commentaries with vital breaking news you listeners of the Divided Kingdom need to hear. Soon, you'll be able to see them posted at DividedKingdomRadio.com. And again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. A young lion tries to save the pride, September 2nd, 2020. And of course, we're coming to you on, it will be the 4th, won't it, Lou?
I believe it'll be the 3rd.
The 3rd, yes, September 3rd, and this article I wrote on September 2nd. This week, a young lion ran out of the den where the members of his pride, embattled America, lay wounded and on fire. 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, according to his attorney, John Pierce, Tucker Carlson Tonight, Monday, August 31st, bravely leaped into the fires of Kenosha. Kyle's a lifeguard, so rescuing people is not new to him. Kyle got a desperate call from a friend, a business owner whose two buildings had already been burned down. His friend asked Rittenhouse to defend his one remaining business. Kyle and another guy responded. Pierce, the lawyer, told Fox News viewers that Rittenhouse's firearm was legal and that despite some media lies, Kyle had not crossed any state line, as had the man who assaulted him, Jacob Rosenbaum. The character of this teenage boy hero is further illustrated by his trying to treat a wounded protester. Lawyer Pierce recounted how the mob became enraged that Kyle Rittenhouse was trying to stop arson, and as the young man began retreating, Jacob Rosenbaum fired back of Rittenhouse, attempting to seize his firearm from behind. John Pierce stated that Kyle fired in self-defense, then stopped to check on Rosenbaum, calling to his friend, "I've shot someone." The mob screamed that Kyle needed to be killed and they were going to kill him. Rittenhouse fell onto the street. There he shot two people who were attacking him while he lay on the ground. One was armed with a pistol. Killed were Jacob Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber. Gage Grosskreutz survived. In his interview, John Pierce asked two vital questions. Number one, why haven't the mob persons who were attacking Kyle Rittenhouse have been charged? Number two, why is a 17-year-old lifeguard sitting in jail while sickening forces try to find Kyle's cell so they can kill him? America has been waiting for months since the calls came from Senators Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton to take firm, immediate action to end the rioting in American blue cities. This could possibly mean invoking the Insurrection Act, as did President Dwight Eisenhower in the 1950s, to countermand Arkansas Governor Faubus's recalcitrance in desegregating Arkansas's schools. Patriarch Lions of the Team America Pride, President Donald Trump and Attorney General William Barr, until now, have seemed to take minimal action as the violent anarchy proceeds in cities like Portland, New York City, Denver, and now Kenosha, Wisconsin. Yet, suddenly, a light years change occurred in Americans' consciousness. Millions woke up in shock after Mark and Patricia McCloskey were charged for defending their St. Louis home. A clarion bugle call had sounded. Renewed love of freedom was simmering in American souls again. They heard and responded to the trumpet echo of Kyle Rittenhouse's amazing youthful courage. How was it that a mere teenager could valiantly attempt to protect his friend's business and the entire Kenosha war zone? Suddenly, wondrously, the strident bugle sound reached the ears of Imperial Lions President Donald J. Trump and Attorney General William Barr. The two patriarchs of the American pride stood to attention and journeyed to Kenosha. Tuesday, August 25th, Tucker Carlson commented astutely on the covert covert motives of the elites engineering Kenosha's unopposed chaos. Quote, "This is a class war against the middle class," end of quote. Many feared events in Kenosha would soon escalate as in Portland. Once again, using the provocation of Jacob Blake's shooting by the police, Operation Anarchy in America would grab this as an alibi to continue their takedown of America in all its horror. President Trump, in a riveting White House interview with Fox News' Laura Ingraham September 1st, rightfully claimed success in his Kenosha trip. Governor Evers had finally allowed in Trump and company. Trump and A.G. Barr were able to offer help to begin resolving the crisis. Trump told Ingraham, just as we did in Minneapolis, this newest Kenosha action really heartens us. It is now credible when Trump says he is America's law and order president. We want to see more, Mr. President. Your poll numbers are going way up after such great RNC testimonials to your character by criminal justice reform recipient Alice Marie Johnson, Kentucky's rising political figure Daniel Cameron, and football great Herschel Walker. All of us want you and Attorney General Barr to gin up Operation Legend. Announced July 22nd, a surge of law and order action with BATF, DEA, adding on the FBI and National Guard. Mr. President, you also told Laura Ingraham pointedly that A.G. Barr has the chance to become a great attorney general. That is in regard to how forcefully he takes charge of the damning evidence on persons in Horowitz's report, Comey and Moore. To end the siege of our freedoms and save our republic, we will need our leaders to have an indomitable will. Indictments of deep state, key Obama political holdover power brokers must happen. We will win only with our leaders fighting as though their lives depended upon it, plus the repentance of a sinful America forced to its knees, petitioning Almighty God to save the republic. And my second part of the monologue, the opening monologue, is the article entitled Critical Race Theory, Nazi-like Subversion in FBI, DOJ, and Large Corporations, again written September 2nd. And again, you will find these essays shortly at DividedKingdomRadio.com. City Journal contributing editor Christopher Ruffo outlined to Tucker Carlson September 1st the disturbing aspects of clandestine critical race theory training sessions, first embedded in the Obama years. They now continue in our major governmental agencies. Just as the Nazis had a form of cancel culture, brainwashing the German public to learn to submit to Hitler's tyranny and to revile Jewish people as an inferior race, this is a similar cancerous indoctrination in our own day. These in-house seminars help fuel the murderous ideology and actions of the Antifa BLM movement. Ruffo's investigation has revealed our most crucial institutions hold these seminars that workers are forced to attend. The FBI, DOJ, large corporations, and possibly some military branches mandate these critical race theory indoctrinations. In the book, On Hitler's Mountain, Overcoming the Legacy of a Nazi Childhood, Irmgard A. Hunt recounts her years as a child living near Hitler's mountain retreat. Akin to present-day academia's indoctrination of college students into Marxism while inculcating hatred of the Constitution in our republic, Hitler, too, used cancel culture. By 1937, 5% of Germans had adopted Gott glaube big, a new, quote, religion thought up by Hitler and the Nazis. At the time of its creation, Gott glaube big was optional. Gradually, subversion changed many more religious and cultural customs and incited racial hatred against the Jewish people. Even swastikas replaced crosses in churches. Author Hunt describes how the Nazis replaced Christmas, calling it Julfest, Jultide, quote, to emphasize neo-pagan Nordic Germanic concepts that focused on the winter solstice, end of quote. The Nazis sought to replace St. Nicholas, quote, the saintly bishop, messenger from the Christ child, end of quote, with, quote, Father Christmas, and, quote, Klaus Ruprecht, end of quote, an old man from the woods who would bring gifts. Hunt recalls that new songs instituted in the Hitler youth groups replaced, quote, the old carols we had always known. The new songs glorified not Mary and the birth of Christ, but German motherhood and winter solstice with the promise of the return of the sun, end of quote. Easter also, quote, sprouted many a new Nazi song in praise of the fresh green and the awakening of nature, end of quote. Does that sound reminiscent of AOC and the crazy Green New Deal? I think so. These things all have a spiritual root. I'm adding to my little essay here, but it is important that we see these parallels. Back to the essay. The Nazis created several new holidays, yet holding on to May 1st to salute the productivity and industry of German workers. May 1st, the day beloved to Marxists and anarchists. Hitler Youth, on November 9th, same day as Kristallnacht, were forced to sing the Horst Wessel Lied, and that was a song I interject there, to glorify the SA Munich March of November 9th, 1923. The ceremony included SS officers speaking about German, quote, blood, quote, German heroes, and, quote, your sacrifice. The propaganda movies of Leni Riefenstahl came into prominence. Even children's books became propaganda for young readers. Hunt recalls a large picture book a neighborhood friend loaned her. Quote, it was a children's book with page after page showing the physical differences between Jews and Germans in grotesque drawings of, quote, Jewish noses, lips, and eyes. The book encouraged every child to note these differences and to bring anyone who bore Jewish features to the attention of our parents or teachers. I was horrified by the crimes Jewish people were being accused of, killing babies, loan sharking, basic dishonesty, and conspiring to destroy Germany and rule the world. The description of the Jewish people would convince any child that these were monsters, not people with sorrows and joys like ours, end of quote. The parallel between Nazi times and now is clear. Corporate business, as well as those training sessions mandated for FBI agents and DOJ employees, indoctrinate and coerce. They make one fall into line with this, quote, racial white supremacy idea. Workers, just like ordinary Germans under Hitler, fear losses of their jobs if they do not conform. As to the ideology of, quote, critical race theory itself, Ruffo reveals that this is, quote, a cover for breaking down our country, end of quote. Pitting blacks against whites and using Antifa BLM hired brute thugs, SA and SS of our day, is designed to foment the civil war and martial law so longed for by the elite in their desired New World Order. Robert Woodson, grand old African-American civil rights activist, points out, lies are becoming normal. The French Revolution guillotines are there, but this is a nation of redemption. Yes, America should be cleansed and offer hope to the world once more. To drain this ferocious swamp and stop total dissolution of the USA, the vile pus of critical race theory must be lanced. Pat Lynch, NYPD union leader, rightly assesses the terrible danger of this planned coming coup. The chaos is their goal.
And now we have some recent headlines. August 31st, 2020, Natural News. Protesters have put Trump in mock guillotine, and not a Democrat that denounces the violence. Protesters outside the White House placed a life-size effigy of President Trump in a guillotine Thursday evening as the president made his acceptance speech. And now, a little bit about coronavirus. The headline of August 31st, Mike Adams, it's entitled, It's Not a Hoax, COVID Fact Check. There have been over 223,000 excess deaths in America this year, so far above and beyond the flu and all other causes of death combined. Also, August 31st, begin at Natural News, more coronavirus infections reported. Total cases now at 6 worldwide. And I don't know if I said infections. It should have said reinfections. The Netherlands is the latest country to confirm reinfection, as the country's National Institute for Public Health and the Environment reported at least 4 reinfections Wednesday. Belgium also reported a confirmed case late Monday, just after Hong Kong announced that it had such a case, and this brings the world total to 6. Elizabeth and I, flyover country news captains, tonight are taking a hard look at the COVID-19 population reduction, global killing machine. Just as Dr. Deborah Birx urges you, we urge you to do the common sense thing, even what your own mother told you when you were a kid.
And it might seem monotonous in tone, but it's so important that we remember those wise words from our mothers.
That's right. If you had a cold or the flu, you were to cover your mouth when you coughed and stay away from other people. Those who'd hype the reopening economic agenda without going through the phases of flattening the curve are not looking out for you individually, especially if you are 60 or older. Just as the damn governors have an agenda to lock down forever and destroy the American economy, hence the whole working middle class, there are some on the other side too ready to open businesses and schools.
And we want to make sure that no listener misheard you. You did not say damn governors. You said dem as an abbreviation for Democrat governors.
That's right. And this is concerning the reopening of schools, businesses, prematurely in surging hotspots. Much as we loved all that was so great about the ideals presented by the so many wonderful real Americans at the Republican National Convention, we would have been happy to see more masks and some social distancing. So we tell you to save your own life by using good judgment and following the wisdom in God's scriptures.
And we must interject here that Lou and I, right before we came to do the program, we were looking at the stats from Maryland, and our governor, Larry Hogan, has just gone into phase 3, and that will open a number of more businesses and churches to a certain level, I think perhaps 75%, and entertainment venues. And so we're concerned because we've been watching these stats for months now, and there had been a time that the one-day increase was something like 323, but lately it has moved back up again to the 600s, and one day recently was 700 and something, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right, it was.
And what was it today?
618, I believe.
I think something like that. So we're a little worried because this curve hasn't really flattened for any length of time. It's a kind of capricious going back up. So when we say think about your own life, don't just think I'll follow the directions of someone else.
That's right. As the scriptures say, the prudent man does prepare. He thinks for himself. And he prays, not diverted by the false bravado of so many of American youth, lick it up and flaunting masks, masklessness as a badge of stupid fearlessness. Now using ineffective face shields to present a glamorous face. Or is it the permanent adolescent Star Wars lover? We're here to bring you Watchmen warnings. Hear us on WWCR Thursday on shortwave 4.840 megahertz. Repeating Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on 7.490. Also hear us at Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 8 p.m.
At 11 p.m., that is, Lou. I perhaps had an error there.
All right, yes, at 11 p.m. Also on KSTARTalkRadio.com. The Divided Kingdom can be heard Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Is Corona really gone, or is it reemerging? Let's take a look at the situation in Europe. Here we have some information on the recent European spikes. And this was dated August the 15th, 2000. The headline reads, virus spikes in Europe spur closings and mask orders. From the Associated Press, Paris. New flare-ups of COVID-19 are disrupting the peak summer vacation season across much of Europe, where authorities in some countries are reimposing restrictions on travelers, closing nightclubs again, banning fireworks displays, and expanding mask orders even in chic resort areas, says British Transport Secretary Grant Shapps to Sky News. Unfortunately, this virus doesn't play ball. The surges have spread alarm across Europe, which suffered mightily during the spring, but appeared in recent months to have largely tamed the coronavirus. In addition to clubs and alcohol-fueled street parades, parties, large family gatherings, usually abounding with hugs and kisses, have been cited as a source of new outbreaks in several European countries. A new public awareness campaign by Spain's Canary Islands depicts a family gathering for a grandfather's birthday, with people taking off masks and embracing. The grandfather ends up in a hospital bed with COVID-19. In France, thousands of vacationing Britons scrambled to return home Friday to avoid having to self-quarantine for 14 days following Britain's decision to reimpose restrictions on France because of a resurgence of infections there. Ferries added extra trips back to England, and trains were running out of space. Some of the toughest new measures were announced in Spain, which has recorded almost 50,000 confirmed COVID-19 cases in the past 14 days. Health Minister Salvador Illa, after an emergency meeting with regional leaders, said nightclubs nationwide were ordered to close. Visits to nursing homes will be limited to one person a day for each resident for only 1 hour. Illa said, quote, "We can't be undisciplined," unquote. With some of Italy's 200-plus infection clusters traced to patrons of crowded seaside dance clubs, the governor of Calabria, the region that forms the toe of Italy, ordered such night spots closed. Italy's health ministry said 574 new COVID-19 cases were recorded on Friday, the highest daily number since May 28th. The outbreaks and new restrictions in Europe shouldn't come as a surprise, says Josh Michaud, Associate Director of Global Health Policy with the Kaiser Family Foundation in Washington. He said, quote, "Even the smallest chink in the armor can lead to an outbreak if you're not careful." In Greece, authorities strongly recommended people wear masks for a week indoors and out in public areas after returning from domestic vacation destinations with a high COVID-19 incidence. Gatherings of more than nine people were prohibited on two popular Greek resort islands, Paros and Antiparos. And a ban on restaurants, bars, and nightclubs operating after midnight was expanded to more parts of the country, including Athens. The steps came as Greece recorded its second highest daily infection numbers, 254 new cases. In France, amid growing fears of a second spike of contagion, the head of the country's National Health Service said Paris and Marseille have been declared at-risk zones. The British government said it was compelled to impose the quarantine requirements on people returning from France in light of the 66% increase in infections in France in the past week. The quarantine decision is a big blow to France's tourism industry, which relies heavily on travelers from Britain. Elsewhere, India's death toll overtook Britain's to become the fourth highest in the world, with another single-day record increase in cases Friday. The number of dead hit more than 48,000, behind the United States with over 167,000, Brazil with more than 105,000, and Mexico with over 55,000. Time magazine, August 27th, gave this European update. On August 21st, Spain had 8,948 cases, the most daily cases since April. Times stated that in Spain, the virus is spreading more quickly than any other European nation. In the past weeks, more than 78,000 cases have been detected in Spain, pushing the 14-day infection rate to 175.7 per 100,000. Italy recorded 1,209 new cases on August 23rd, the first time the number had exceeded 1,000 since May. South Korea also had increases. France, August 23rd, had 4,897 new cases, highest daily caseload since mid-April. A headline, France declares Paris and Marseille high-risk zones. In Germany, August 22nd, records 2,032 cases, highest since April.
Those are astounding statistics, Lou.
Yes.
And now we investigate the global COVID-19 killing machine. Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris would like us all to have universal health care. So let's take a look at the role model for this National Health Service in the U.K. And this is an article at Natural News, Thursday, August 27th, by Raymond Tomei. Keep on killing. U.K. health officials ordered care homes to place do-not-resuscitate orders on all residents. A chilling new report states the National Health Service, the national health care system of the U.K., ordered care homes across the country to place their residents under do-not-resuscitate DNR orders at the height of the coronavirus pandemic. According to the Queen's Nursing Institute, officials of the NHS pressured about 1 in 10 care homes to introduce DNRs, remember that's do not resuscitate, without permission from the residents, family members, and even fellow staff. The officials also said that the move was made to free up hospital beds for other COVID-19 patients. In his interview with the London Telegraph, Alison Leary, a professor at London South Bank University and the author of the damning report, also called for an investigation on the matter. While the British Medical Association maintains that a DNR order should be made after talking with the patient or their family, the practice has been controversial in the UK, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. Recently, the NHS, that's the National Health Service, was forced to issue new guidance on DNR orders after a woman sued the government over its failure to provide consistent advice on the matter. In her report, Leary surveyed 128 nurses and care home managers, all of whom worked either in elderly homes or institutions that took care of younger people with cognitive disabilities. One respondent said that they challenged the order to place DNR orders for all residents, saying the practice was unethical, while another reported that DNRs were put in place without consent from the family or discussions with care home staff. Lou, this is beginning to sound like the T4 euthanasia plan of Hitler, isn't it?
Oh, very much so, yes.
In which Anita Dittmann, the Holocaust survivor, told that many Germans, if they had a Down syndrome child, they kept them off the streets so that the T4 plan wouldn't pick them up and take them, and then a few weeks later let them know that, oh, they died of a little cold at the camp they were taken to, the special recreation camp. Well, back to this scary report from the UK. In addition, the respondents said that some hospitals refused to admit care home residents at the height of the pandemic, even for non-COVID-19 conditions. Care home staff reported having a hard time setting appointments with general practitioners for elderly residents. And now, there's more to this. Do not resuscitate orders should, whenever possible, be made in consultation with the person concerned and their family and be based on fitness to be treated as well as personal preference, said Deborah Alcina, chief executive of the nonprofit Independent Age. Leary, who teaches health care and workforce modeling, was surprised with how many people came forward with their concerns, saying that she expected only one or two cases. The fact that DNRs, do not resuscitate, were issued for whole populations, even imposed without consulting with the family or the patient, was a cause for concern, she added. And we interject here, the real title and focus of our program tonight is COVID-19, a global population color. We have to really put these things in mind, along with the strange policies of Whitmer, Wolf, and Cuomo putting those people into the nursing homes who had the COVID and, you know, infecting the infections, you know, letting everything increase, letting everything get worse. Was this a plan? We really do have to ask this. And back to this article, this effectively meant that NHS officials could make decisions that would impact the well-being of care home residents, not only the elderly, but also those with cognitive problems, regardless of age. That's the tip-off, isn't it, Lou, that this may have been a population reduction plan because it went after people the elite would consider not worth having life.
Yes, exactly.
In April, NHS England Medical Director Stephen Powis banned the use of blanketed DNR forms in a letter to NHS staff. The ban came after news that a medical clinic in Port Talbot asked elderly patients to fill up forms ensuring that no emergency services will be sent the moment they contract COVID-19. Boy, that's another one, isn't it? Shocking.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty clear. That is rather out in the open that let us kill you, you know? In addition, a surgeon in the southwestern town of Somerset told people with autism to sign DNRs to prevent resuscitation if they fall critically ill. In a separate instance, learning disability care provider Turning Point reported that it had received an unprecedented number of DNR, remember that's do not resuscitate forms, which it plans to challenge as illegal. This is really stunning, but we have more.
Yes, moving back across the pond to the United States, while millions of families have lost their jobs, and God only knows how many their homes, while planned destruction vitiates the poor black neighborhoods in Seattle, Portland, Denver, Kenosha, Baltimore, a black specter moves stealthily behind the scenes. Connecticut health officials didn't include nursing homes in COVID-19 emergency response plan. By Zoe Sky, Natural News, August 24th. According to an independent state-funded report, health officials in Connecticut left out nursing homes while they were developing a coronavirus COVID-19 plan during the early days of the pandemic. Unfortunately, the state was also ill-equipped to deal with COVID-19, as it was relying on an antiquated outbreak monitoring system. The interim report was released on Tuesday, August 18th, by the research firm Mathematica Policy Research. Unprepared and outdated, the report showed that the Connecticut Department of Public Health's emergency response plan focused solely on hospitals and neglected long-term care facilities in the state. The ill-advised plan also mistakenly assumed two things, that only non-infected staff would remain at healthcare facilities and that there would be enough personnel protection, equipment like masks and gowns. The report also showed that the health officials were using an old monitoring system wherein outbreak reports from nursing homes were faxed in, and an electronic system that reported daily was only set up in May. According to the report, in early January, 6 out of 9 positions in the Office of Public Health Preparedness and Response were vacant. These positions were only filled recently, by July, suggesting that the Department of Public Health didn't have the manpower necessary to track and manage emergencies when the pandemic was in its early stages. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont, a Democrat, called for the third-party review in June to determine how Connecticut handled the pandemic and what improvements could be made. Lamont defended the state's response, claiming that the limited scientific knowledge about the disease within the first months of the pandemic presented certain challenges when determining effective measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Lamont added, quote, "Despite these limitations, Connecticut made some very critical decisions in our response to COVID-19 that saved lives and improved public health." Unquote. Too little, too late. The Mathematica report also showed that when the pandemic first began, health officials made decisions using the available knowledge at the time, as presented by national and state epidemiologists and public health experts. Over 3,000 long-term care residents have died in Connecticut. This represents at least 3/4 of all coronavirus deaths in the state. The report found that Connecticut's death rate for long-term care residents was the highest in the Northeast, with 91 deaths per 100,000 individuals.
Yes, and there was Lamont, self-congratulatory remarks that reminded us of that strange narcissistic poster that Governor Cuomo made about New York. You know, these people are nuts, if they're anything.
Yes, you're so right about that. According to the report, the state was late in implementing crucial infection control changes. Connecticut only instructed all personnel to wear masks in nursing homes on April 4th, a day after federal officials advised the general public to wear masks for their protection. And we'll interject here, the question was Connecticut's belated instruction order incompetence or part of the devious New World Order culling plan, not letting Rahm Emanuel's idea of a good crisis never goes to waste.
I think that was a note I added to you, to your agenda there, a little bit late. And if you couldn't read my writing, I apologize. But it still is significant, because if this is diabolically by design, it was planned. It didn't just happen.
That's right. Now, keep in mind, I just read that Connecticut gave the instructions to their personnel on April 4th. The article goes on to say, however, in New York, officials issued a masking order for health care facilities as early as March 13th, almost a month before. And think about this. I'll interject this. Why, just as MSNOC and CNN, and that is MSNBC and CNN, more of the MSN had the same talking points, such as even the one word, impeachment. Why did all these Democratic governors follow Cuomo's example, sending COVID patients back to the nursing home? Whitmer in Michigan, Wolf in Pennsylvania, Murphy in New Jersey, and so on. This all dovetails so much with this UK plan to do not resuscitate the patients. Even before the coronavirus, back to the article, even before the coronavirus pandemic, the nursing home industry have been struggling with infection-related issues. The report also found that at least 68% of Connecticut's nursing homes were cited for an infection control deficiency at least once in the last 3 years. The industry also had to deal with high turnover among infection control staff that left many roles unfilled or filled with inexperienced staff. Nursing homes in the state struggled to retain staff, especially when the pandemic continued to spread in April. At one point, 50 people were dying per day in long-term care facilities. Providers interviewed by Mathematica reported that the increased staff absences were caused by issues related to child care. Some staff members also had pre-existing conditions that put them at greater risk of getting infected if they reported for work, while others were scared of catching the virus or bringing it home and infecting their loved ones. Providers also faced competition for staff with other nursing homes in New York City, since hospitals and other settings were offering competitive financial incentives.
And going right along with this trend, here's another headline, Natural News, Friday, February 1st, 2019, by S.D. Wells. This is some time ago, but it's very apropos. Mass population reduction is the underlying goal of the Democrat socialist agenda, from last-day abortions and deadly vaccines to illegal immigration and gun control. One major difference between Democrats and Republicans is that most Democrats' thoughts are clouded by mainstream media hype and the highly subjective, emotionally charged current event and scripted official narrative news, while most Republicans keep the big picture in mind. Knowing fake news is always a cover for a long-term, more insidious agenda. If you've noticed lately, the left has shifted to an extremely radicalized far left into a deep-seated rage of hostility, fear, frustration, and a much more obvious cult-like mentality. The ultimate goal of this chess match has been uncovered and revealed by Truth Media. For the far left, the end justifies the means, and the ultimate end goal is mass population reduction by any means possible, just like with Hitler. It's the underlying concurrent theme of everything they are preaching right now, and it's blatantly obvious, except to the sheeple on the left who are blindly following the herd right off the cliff. Let's take an inside look at the controlled chaos so we don't slip down the deadliest slippery slope America has ever witnessed. Here we go. why do Americans who are pro-vaccine zealots also support mass uncontrolled illegal immigration? First look, it simply doesn't make sense that people who are absolutely paranoid about catching infectious diseases and who have their children and themselves injected with every known carcinogen the CDC, quote, recommends, are screaming at the same time for open borders that will enable the mass migration of people from third world countries who bring with them the very diseases these vaccine zealots are immunized against. But look deeper, and you find the answer. It's all about population control. You see, the leaders of the new Democrat, Socialist, Communist regime have all their sheeple brainwashed, and yes, even the intelligent, hardworking ones. The, quote, social justice theme has them completely turned upside down, getting injected with dozens of vaccines that cause disease, spread disease, maim children, and lead to cancer and dementia, all while voting for mass illegal immigration of more people who will vote for more of the same. Get it? Forced vaccination across our nation is on the horizon, and it will come right after mass gun confiscation, so nobody can defend their health rights. The far left needs tens of millions of people who are dumbed down to vote for their own demise, and so far it's working. One herd, the illegal immigrants, is infecting the other herd, the pro-vaccine zealots, with all the diseases that scare them to death, pardon the pun, including AIDS, HIV, hepatitis B and C, tuberculosis, measles, whooping cough, and malaria. Vaccine herd theory has always been a hoax, and that's why it is completely debunked and obliterated when the illegal immigrant herd enters the USA with all those infectious diseases the American sheeple just vaccinated themselves against. The sheeple Democrats simply can't fathom that their leaders are installing the mechanisms of population control right under their noses and getting them all to vote for it. And what's the formula for creating brainwashed sheeple? That's easy. It's a combination serum of scripted mass media, fluoridated water, vaccines, flu shots, GMOs, canola oil, and prescription medications. To them, all fake news is real, and all real news is fake. Again, it's all about mass population reduction, and it's coming like a tsunami. And there's a little bit more. We may have to skip over a part of this. Our time is getting a little bit lower. But at first, it doesn't make sense that there's no capital punishment for murderers in New York. But you can now legally murder your baby as it's coming out of the mother on the day of birth. Upon first consideration, it also doesn't seem to make sense that the citizens of New York are all in for protecting their infants and children from supposedly dying in infectious diseases by vaccinating them with 50 jabs before age 7. But those same people vote to legalize infanticide, the mass killing of babies in the womb up until their actual birth. But look deeper and you find the answer. A deeper look reveals the real rationale for all of that. Population control. The insane, psychopathic Democrat leaders in New York don't support capital punishment for murderers while supporting mass vaccination and baby-in-womb murdering because all of that is population reduction. It doesn't matter to the genocidal eugenicists whether people are killed illegally by serial murderers or legally by radicalized parents. Get it? And now it all makes sense. No prisons, no borders, no police, no guns, no babies, no free press, no free speech, no natural medicine, no organic food, no electoral college, no gender differences, no patriotism, no God. It's not about social justice. It's not about free college or free income or free food or free health care. It's not about global warming either. That's just a huge Ponzi scheme. It's all about population control through toxic food and chemical medicine. And it always has been. And now the far left is leading the blitzkrieg. Face it, there's nothing free when you're a slave. Wake up and smell that toxic corporate coffee. Always be aware of the big picture, folks. Stay organic and stay smart. And we really now have to know that these biotech goons intend to brainwash more Americans into voting for their own demise.
Now, from Big League Politics, FDA stops Henry Ford Health System from using hydroxychloroquine as COVID treatment despite study proving its effectiveness. The FDA does not have the best interest of the American people at heart. From Natural News by Shane Trejo, August 14, 2020. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, is refusing to allow the Henry Ford Health System to use hydroxychloroquine as a COVID-19 treatment, despite the fact that the medical provider produced a peer-reviewed scientific study showing its efficacy. Quote, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration informed us that it would not grant our request for an emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine for a segment of COVID-19 patients meeting very specific criteria, said Dr. Adnan Mankara, Henry Ford's Executive Vice President and Chief Clinical Officer, in a statement. Hydroxychloroquine has become a political football ever since President Donald Trump tweeted out in praise of the drug back in March. Big pharma-backed soothsayers like Dr. Anthony Fauci, who literally funded coronavirus studies in bats at the Wuhan lab shortly before the outbreak as head of NIAID, immediately denigrated the findings of the scientific study in order to keep the mass hysteria from the pandemic going. Quote, we know from another study, corticosteroids give benefits in reducing deaths with advanced disease, Fauci said during a House subcommittee hearing earlier this month. Fauci added, quote, that study is a flawed study, and I think anyone who examines it carefully is that it is not a randomized placebo-controlled trial, meaning that Fauci wants the feds to sanction a big pharma-approved study on hydroxychloroquine.
And Lou, we'll have to interrupt because we'll have to shorten both of our articles on this somewhat, but we recall Dr. Daniel Wallace, the head of the Lupus Foundation of America. He went 43 years with 2,400 patients using hydroxychloroquine successfully, and no deaths, no hospitalizations. So we know this is a cover-up. This is a stonewalling of something. And here's another headline from Ethan Huff at Natural News, August 20th. People everywhere are dying because the corrupt FDA won't let them have hydroxychloroquine. The Wuhan coronavirus blame game rages on, with the left accusing President Donald Trump of somehow not doing enough to address the crisis. But as anyone who has been paying attention well knows, Trump did try to help by promoting the use of hydroxychloroquine, which the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has continued to stonewall at the expense of the tens of thousands of lives that have now been needlessly lost. At last count, upwards of 48,000 Americans have died just since July 1st, when the FDA delayed issuing an emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine. Doctors and medical professionals all over the country have repeatedly tried to get the FDA to cooperate with their request to administer hydroxychloroquine to their patients, only to have the FDA reject their petitions. The latest rejection came on August 10th when the FDA told Dr. John McKinnon and his team from Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit that they cannot prescribe hydroxychloroquine either for outpatient prevention or for inpatient early treatment. Under no circumstances is hydroxychloroquine allowed to be prescribed. In other words, even though a clinical trial conducted by Dr. McKinnon resulted in a 51% reduction in deaths when hydroxychloroquine treatment was initiated within 24 hours of a patient being admitted to the hospital. Dr. Peter McCullough and his cardiology team at the Baylor Heart and Vascular Institute in Dallas apparently peer-reviewed Dr. McKinnon's paper and findings, agreeing that HCQ is a useful tool in the fight against COVID-19. And so this article goes on to indict Stephen Hahn, the head of the FDA, and that he's rehashing this false narrative that hydroxychloroquine is causing outpatient harm. So there's a lot more to this, but we can see that there's a big push on remdesivir. And by the way, this article says it has shown very little benefit in hospitalized Wuhan coronavirus patients, not to mention the horrific side effects it has reportedly induced. But none of this matters, since remdesivir appears to be the antiviral drug of choice chosen by the deep state as the only available remedy for the plandemic. And I think we'll move right on to the next article, Lou.
Well, here's one. Just when we thought that masks were a good thing, we have a headline. I believe this, I don't see the source of this. I think it was Big League Politics, though. Anthony Fauci says there is no proof that coronavirus even spreads through aerosols.
And now, we refute that immediately because of the information from Dr. Aaron Bromage that documented a man in a restaurant and the air conditioning, just spread it to the next person at a nearby table, and more people then went to a church and they sang, and it ended up with several people dead. So these inconsistencies of the people who are part of the deep state, we can't really regard them. But again, we tell you to use your common sense. There is a reason your mother said, cover your mouth when you cough and when you sneeze and when you have a cold. And I think very quickly, just give the upshot, the headline of this. So there's an inconsistency there. Now, what, calling for masks now that once he didn't, or vice versa?
Well, I think Dr. Fauci here is saying, we don't have any proof. Well, common sense would tell you.
Yes, it does. Well, now I think we must move on because this is an important warning. We won't get everything done tonight, but if you want to keep us on the air and you value our program, you can send us a little cash or a money order, a check written only to WWCR to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Here is the outstanding headline here. Warning, COVID-19 vaccine may cause shedding like other vaccines. And again, this is by S.D. Wells at Natural News, and this was August 16th. Worsening the pandemic by spreading what would have been obsolete strains of coronavirus. And they say that, first off, any coronavirus vaccine, the corrupt vaccine industry, quote, discovers, will most likely be useful from the beginning because the virus is quickly mutating and morphing, as admitted by a general consensus of scientists from around the world. So there's that to consider, and very carefully. Next comes the problem of vaccine shedding, which is also scientifically proven and sourced right here in this article. Top that off with the fact that human trials started already, which means the scientists and medical community completely skipped animal testing. To hell with it all. Just shoot up the stupid humans and see if it takes, right? Sacrifice the few for the common good or the greater good, as they claim on the left. It was one of Hitler's favorite slogans as well. We're hearing Hitler a lot of times tonight. I wonder why. Yes, the strains, I was saying that, Elizabeth. Yes, the strains of COVID-19, back to the article, are mutating as they spread and infect people around the world, becoming immune to anything scientists might conjure up to beat it back. So much for herd immunity. It's more like herd infection now. Just take a look at New York City, where one of the most concentrated herds roam daily in the USA. Beware of herd infection. COVID-19 vaccine will infect those surrounding the vaccinated for 2 weeks or more, further spreading the disease by shedding. Did you know that when you get a vaccine, you may never catch the virus, but you can infect your whole family and or roommates very easily during the first 2 weeks after you get jabbed? Clinical research and studies are mounting up that prove vaccinated people spread disease. So the news around the world should be covering how anyone getting a vaccine of any kind should self-quarantine for 2 weeks, just like those coming back to America from other coronavirus-infected countries or stepping off a cruise boat or airplane. This will prevent millions of outbreaks of the very diseases the vaccine industry is trying to create immunity against. Blaming the unvaccinated children for outbreaks, therefore, is inaccurate and a hoax in itself. It's the vaxxers, not the anti-vaxxers, that spread most of the diseases. And in the first 2 weeks after getting immunizations, think Disneyland measles outbreak here. How ironic. So they're going on to say that this problem of the shedding of the virus is something bad. And they're also saying it's scientifically proven with many vaccines. And they add, plus the medical community already knows that you can catch this COVID-19 more than once, even three times. So why risk a vaccine? Novel coronavirus, you see, has produced virulent strains. And there are different kinds. And I think, Lou, you have something there about a man who got reinfected a couple times. Do you know where that is? If you see that.
I can look at it. In the meantime, let me just read this little headline, and then I'll look for that. Coronavirus came from a Chinese lab, and no vaccine will ever cure it, declares a renowned scientist.
Yes, and we'll get more into that.
Now, I'll look for that other one.
Yes, we have talked about various experts, saying, documenting their findings that this was a bioweapon made in a lab. And back to the article I have, while you see if you can find that, the research shows that vaccine recipients can carry diseases in the back of their throat and infect others while displaying no symptoms of a disease. What's worse is that vaccine-induced immunity doesn't last but a few years, usually 4 to 6, before you need another vaccine, call it booster or round. It's all the same, more toxins that risk disease and the spreading of it rather than prevention and containment. So have you found that yet?
No, I haven't. Perhaps it's inside of a longer article.
It may be. I think it was someone in one of the third world countries, maybe India, maybe Brazil.
Well,
and,
I'll keep
and the person had been able, I think, to be pronounced well, but then a couple months later, He relapsed, but it was a different strain. It was a European strain. So that's kind of shocking, too.
Yes, that is.
You know, there's a lot that we don't know about this thing.
Well, we know there are many strains of the common cold, so why wouldn't we expect there to be some strains of this coronavirus as well?
That's right. I think that they said that most of the people infected in New York had the European strain, the same kind of strain that came from Italy.
That's what I've heard, too, yes.
So, again, we advise you to use your common sense. And, if there is something that's coming up, we need a lot of prayer because we're worried about these millions of pre-filled syringes. What can this mean? We could have plagues in the order of revelations. Revealing of them in the Bible, and they might be a recurrence caused by this very thing, the shedding of the vaccines to other people. So we urge you, certainly, if you are 60, maybe even 55, to really pray about what God wants you to do, where you are to work, what you're to do, and if He wants to save your life for a while, if your purpose hasn't ended on earth, you should pray, and He will tell you. He told Lou that Lou was taken away. The righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Lou's teaching career ended. And those were the scriptures, several more, that Lou also would not be there for the second wave. Did that mean coronavirus? Did that mean forced mass vaccinations? We don't know, but we trust our Heavenly Father. And we love our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Pray and repent. Good night.